Prayer. And y'all, if you hadn't been praying, I'd appreciate if you would. I've known about Daddy speaking at Crestview for quite some time, and you know, I thought I might have something on my mind, and you know, it stuck with me for a little while, and the next thing you know, it changed. And I don't know if that was for my benefit or maybe for this morning or not, but I pray that it is of the Lord, and just have to try the spirits and ask the Lord's blessing upon it. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd like you to please turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, if you're well-versed in the Bible and well-versed in the Primitive Baptist or the Old Baptist doctrine, this passage of Scripture should be real familiar to you. Ephesians chapter 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Jesus Christ. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And brothers and sisters, if I don't say anything else, there is so much in that verse that you can sit there and you can chew on that for a long time. According to it, he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. What power did that take? To know everybody, all of his chosen, all of his elect, before he even created the world. And not only that, but that we should be holy, without blame, before him in love. Now you might ask, how in the world can that be? Lord, I'm such a vile sinner. I sin all the time. I can't get rid of this old nature. I mess up all the time. How can I be blameless before him? Well, we know that it's only through Christ Jesus and him shedding his blood, him finishing the work that the Lord had sent him to do. That is the only way we are acceptable to God. In verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And it was a good pleasure unto his will. He gladly did it. That was his purpose. You know, sending the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth to save us from our sins, that was not an afterthought. That was not a plan B. Let's make sure we know that very clear. That was not a plan B. That was his purpose before the world began. Verse 6, to praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved. Now, like I said, how can we become before him blameless? Through the finished work of Lord Jesus Christ that came to the earth, that died upon the cross for our sins. He took sin upon himself and banished it away from us forever. Now, we still have this sin nature here on earth, but we are accepted and the beloved. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, that is the blood of Christ, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And what grace it was that he would do such a thing for such a vile sinner as me. Like I know Dad has said many times, I know why he saved you, but I don't know why he saved me. Now those verses 1 through 7, I just wanted to build a foundation. I wanted to bring that to life. I know this should be one of those passages of scriptures that's very familiar to us, but hey, we could never read it enough. You know, this word is timeless. We could read it and read it and read it until our Bible completely falls apart. Get another one. It's not used up. We have more and more to reach. We can glean more and more. Now, brothers and sisters, like I said, I was reading this, and you know, sometimes you could read a script passage of scripture over and over and over, and it's the same thing to you, same thing to you. But next thing you know, you read it one day, it's something totally different. It's not a different truth, but it may be a different perspective of the same truth. Now that took wisdom. Now I know the wisdom of God is far, vast beyond ours. We can't even comprehend the wisdom that He has. But the wisdom of His Word. We can never use up His Word, like I said earlier. We always have His Word with us that we can read. We can use that to lead and guide us through this life. Like I said, I wanted to use that as kind of building a foundation. If you're building a house or something, the house has to stand. It has to have a good foundation. Well, what a foundation we have right here. Now I'd like to go to Romans chapter 12. Now those of you that we're here the night that I filled in for Daddy on Wednesday night. I took the chapter of Romans 12, but like I said, it hasn't left me. And I pray that it's of the Lord. But Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, some people may think that, well, it's hard to do right. It's hard to do this. But Paul, blessed by God, would say this, our reasonable service. Now, like we read earlier in Ephesians chapter 1, if you can understand that, if you can grasp the concept of what God has done for us, amen, that is a reasonable service. That is something that we should be striving for each and every day. As a living sacrifice. Now, a sacrifice, something has to be either given up. Now, it's living sacrifice. So there is no death to that sacrifice because we are living each and every day, but we should be sacrificing something. And one thing is sacrifice self. This old sin nature that we carry around with us, it's always present. It's always with us. And it will be until either we pass on from this life and awake in the presence of the Lord, or the Lord comes back and changes us. Amen to that. We're awaiting that change. But sacrificing self, I know I've used it a lot every time I say it, but a living sacrifice, the problem with a living sacrifice is we keep crawling off the altar. Now, that's a problem with us. That's a problem with our sin nature. We want to, by nature, man is a sinful creature. And we want to flee from God. We want to flee from this. We'd rather be down in the miry mud. You know, we'd like to return to that. But brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, if He has touched and tendered your heart to know, to let you know Him, then that should be our reasonable service, to sacrifice self, to try to live our life holy, acceptable unto God. Now we said earlier, the only way that we can be acceptable unto God is through Christ Jesus. If it wasn't for the finished work of our Lord and Savior, there's no way we could be acceptable unto God. Not anything of ourselves. Now in verse 2 it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And like we said earlier, what we've read in Ephesians, everything that God has done for us, everything that He has provided for us, He provided, not only does He provide for us every day, but He provided our salvation. Something that we could never attain for ourselves. But He provided this. And because the Lord has done this, We should want to be apart from this world. We should want to separate ourselves from this untoward generation, if you will. Like I said in Acts, it's because of what God has done for us. It is our reasonable service to sacrifice self and to serve Him every day. God chose us, called us out, so we should separate ourselves from the world. And one thing, it says to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now we know just by our mind, our minds are filthy. It's just full of just stuff that we don't need to have. But brothers and sisters, if we read this word, seek God each and every day. And I tell you, that's something I struggle with a lot. I'll go ahead and admit it. I struggle with it sometimes. There's sometimes I'm just too busy. Oh, I tell you how much that affects you when you have the right mindset. When you have your heart tendered and it pricks you to the heart. I didn't have time for God's word. How? Everything that He has done for us, I don't have 5-10 minutes to read. And I'm not saying this to step on anybody's toes. Like I said, I'm just as guilty as anyone. But be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, reading God's word, soaking up the good and truth of God's word, being around God's people, hearing the sound of the gospel. That's what we should be surrounding ourselves from. We shouldn't be filling our mind with the things of the world. We should be filling our things with things above the word of God. By the renewing of your mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, like I said earlier, if our mind is right, if we're thinking upon the Lord, if we're trying to push out the world, you know, that spirit that the Lord has blessed us with, it'll witness to us. We hear that good and truth. We hear that good word, and it just, you know, it just makes us feel so good, and we know it's true, and it'll witness to us that we know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the only way that you're going to know what God's will is to be thinking about God, seeking after Him, reading His word. If you're going astray, you're not going to know what the will is. You're not going to be having close fellowship with God. Now, I have never in my life experienced the Lord speaking in an audible voice to me. But He doesn't have to. We should seek out His voice in this book. Now, if we'll skip on down to verse 9. Like I said, last Wednesday night before last, I went through in the entire chapter, verse by verse, but I just have to go with what's been placed upon my heart. So verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Now, who can tell me what dissimulation means? It's basically fake. Don't let your love be fake. Dissimulation is not sincere, not honest. It's fake. Let your love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Now, one thing, we should let our love be sincere, not fake. God's love is real. The love that He showed to us has always been real, and it's always been truthful. Now, for us to strive to be like God, because like we sang the song, Christ is a great example. He is the best example for us. Christ's love was pure, was without dissimulation, without fakeness, without unsincerity, if that's even a word. It So we should be true at all times. Always being honest. The Lord never lied to anyone. He was never fake about his love. And that's what I love about the good old Baptist church. You know, seems like you can travel the country and walk through the doors and there's always some brother or sister there that's just almost ripped your head off, you know, because they're hugging your neck. Now, brothers and sisters, that's true love. You know, that's love. They don't even know you, but we have something in common. We have that love of Christ within us. That's, we're drawn to one another. It's almost like a magnet, you know. But let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Now, like we said, separating ourselves from the world, there's so much evil in this world today. God bless Paul to write these words down in his day. And we think, you know, what is this world coming to now? You know, if he's saying it now, if he's saying it then, you know, we think everything's just so much worse nowadays. Like everything wasn't so bad. Well, we know things were bad. The church was being persecuted, you know, as it began. Brothers and sisters, in this country, we haven't had much persecution. We haven't had much opposition. And we should thank God for that. But we should abhor that which is evil. Abstain from it. Stay away from it. And especially, keep it out of the church. This is our, if you will, refuge from the world. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew exactly what he was doing when he set up the church. A body of believers of like precious faith that we could help each other out, be kind one to another, helping each other out. We have this place that we can meet together, that we shouldn't have to fear what anybody's going to do to us because we have that like precious faith. We have that common union, that communion together. It should be that place that we come and separate ourselves from the world and just sit under the sound of the gospel, singing praises to his name. This should be a refuge from the world. Amen? Amen. So let your love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Amen. When we have the right mindset, when our heart is properly prepared and we can receive the gospel and we hear it and we can rejoice in it, amen. We can just want to just soak it all up. We can just want to stay here forever. We do know that we go through times that we have dry spells. We don't feel the Spirit as much. We feel like we're far off from God. Well, I'll tell you, God hasn't gone anywhere. If we feel that we have gone, if God has left us, you need to check yourself because we have left God. We are moving away. So let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. We should always want to be around good. Doesn't it just make you feel good when you're out, say, out in public or whatever, and you hear somebody talking and you strike up a conversation with somebody and they like to talk about something that the Lord has done for. You know, just a good person. And you start feeling that, you know, maybe, you know, we have something in common. I don't even know this person from Adam's house cat, but we have something in common. We're a brother and sister in Christ. We have that like precious faith. It's so refreshing to find that out in the world. We expect that in the church, and we should expect that in the church. We should never have to worry about that in our church. But to find that out in the world, it's just, like I said, it's cleave to that which is good. And it's so refreshing to find somebody that you didn't even know. But in the beloved, we all know. We feel that connection. And we should just sit and drink it up. Now, verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Now, like we said earlier, let not your love be without, let love be without dissimulation. So in this verse, it says, be kindly affectionate one to another. Now, like I said earlier, when we come to the church and somebody wants to hug your neck and we shake each other's hand, we love that. We feel that connection. We want to have that fellowship. Amen. It's a wonderful time to gather. We have. Because sometimes, well, and quite frankly, a lot of times, you don't get that out in the world. You know, I mean, hey, you're out in Walmart or something like that, and you reach up and grab somebody and hug their neck. Yeah, you don't know. They may not appreciate that. But we love to come to church. We love to feel that love from one another. And it's the love of Christ through others that we see, that we can connect with. And so, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. You know, I have two brothers. You know, some people think of brotherly love as us fighting around, horsing around, and stuff like that. No, this is talking about brotherly love, a strong love, a love bond that cannot be broken. And brothers and sisters, if we're kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, if our love is sincere, if we're trying to live a godly life, if we're striving to do what is right, then others will see that, especially the others, the same of like precious faith. They'll see that, and that's part of letting your light so shine before men. They'll see that light. Light likes to be with light. You know, every time the light is on, darkness flees. So let your light so forth shine, and others will see it. Now, some people may be going through a tough time. They may be going through a difficult time, and you know, they're just down in the dumps. They're in darkness, if you will. But you know, if you're letting your light so shine and you're shining forth and you're just beaming with the love of God, they're a child of God, they're going to react to that. They're going to see that. And they're going to want to cleave to that which is good. Now, verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, it says not slothful in business. And we shouldn't be slothful in our business. You know, anytime you, if you have a job and you're a slothful person in your job, hey, you may not have that job very long. I don't know about y'all, but I've had some employers in the past that, you know, they like to crack the whip. You know, there's no chance for being slothful. But not only that, it's the Word of God. It says not slothful in business. Now, we can take that as in business or in our lives. We shouldn't be slothful in the business of, especially in the church. Not just the deacons, but the church member, the church body in itself. We shouldn't be slothful, especially in our worship. Especially in our worship. Brothers and sisters, we have stuff to do here on earth. Before we come to church, we should be preparing our heart. Like the parable of the sower. If the seed falls upon a stony, rock-hard heart, there's not going to be much come from that. It's going to profit very little, if any. Just like a farmer has to work the field. He has to till the land. He has to break up the land. Make it soft. Make it where that seed will find a good soft place. It has to be prepared. Our hearts have to be prepared. That's part of our business, if you will. So let's not be slothful in that business. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit. Now, one of the times I remember hearing fervent is when the Lord comes and he's going to burn the earth with fervent heat. That's hot. That's hot, to burn the entire world. So if it's going to use the word fervent in spirit, then amen, we should be preparing our heart. We should be ready to hear the gospel. That is one of the things. We should be fervent in spirit. When we have the opportunity, and it is an opportunity, and it's a privilege to come to this house and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's one of the things it should be. It should be a priority to be here. Anytime these doors are open, it should be a priority for us to come. Now, I understand things get in the way sometimes. Life happens. I get it. I've been there, if you will. I've got the t-shirt, you know. Especially when I was in the guard, there was a lot of times that, well, 1 week in a month, I wasn't able to come. And sad to say, when I first began, it didn't really bother me that much. But the Lord started working on me more and more, and it started to bother me. Brothers and sisters, every time this building is open, I want to be here. Every time I have an opportunity, I should take it. I should take opportunities to read the Word. Anytime I have an opportunity to go to church, I should take it. Again, not being slothful in business. Not being slothful. But being fervent in spirit. Most of the time I'm up here leading singing, and I can feel some days where there's a lot of spirit in the song service. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, when there's a lot of spirit here and a lot of people have prepared their heart and they are here to worship, I can sing all day. I may be pouring down sweat and out of breath and everything, but brother, I could just want to sing all day. I love it. But there are times where it's like the second song and I haven't felt much spirit, and it's a tough road to hoe. And I know sometimes, and a lot of times, it could be just me. I've been to church services where I've been visiting other places or whatever, and I've gotten up to lead singing or whatever, and I just, there might have been something on my mind that was bothering me, that was bogging me down. But, you know, I can look out on the pews and there's just people just rejoicing, tears running out of their eyes. You know, and that should affect us, because we see that. It's just like, what's wrong with me? You know, I need to check myself. I didn't prepare myself before I came to the house. I was being slothful. But it says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And amen, we should be serving the Lord. That is our duty and our reasonable service to serve God. Because like we read earlier in Ephesians, everything that God has done for us, why wouldn't we want to serve Him? You know, if you have a job and your boss or employer is a good person. You know, they're really good to you. They're always on time with payroll. And they're just really good and honest to you, especially being honest and always being good to you. It's very easy to work for somebody like that. It's very easy to work for somebody like that. How much more greater is God than a good employer? He daily loadeth us with benefits. Daily. Whether we deserve them or not. And we have a great example of that, of the children of Israel while they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. The manna always fell. They always had water to drink. It said their raiment didn't wax old, their feet didn't swell, so they didn't have to stop off at a shoe store or anything. Brothers and sisters, our God is so great and is so good to us. It breaks my heart when I'm in the right mind and think of how many times I have just not done what I should have. Like that song, "Thus far the Lord has left me on." So much of my time is run to waste. And like I said, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm picking on myself, if anything. So much of my time has run to waste. There's so many times I've just sat on the couch and watched TV. Sit in front of the idiot box when I should be doing something. I could be serving someone else. I could be going out and helping someone. And brothers and sisters, that's one way we can serve our Lord, is to be a good steward one to another. Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Rejoicing in hope. Amen to that. Rejoice in the hope that we have in the Christ, in Christ Jesus. Rejoicing in hope. That's easy to rejoice in hope. Because when we have the hope, when we know where the hope is, where we know where our hope lies, amen, we can rejoice in that. And we should. And it should be felt. Like I said, sometimes letting your light so shine, if you're rejoicing in the good and honest things of Christ, somebody that knows it too, even if they're having a bad day, they're going to get something from it. Rejoicing in hope and patient in tribulations. Brothers, that's hard, especially hard for me. I confess I'm not the most patient person in the world. And that's one of my downfalls, and I know I need to work on that. But patient in tribulation, not just, well, the computer's not working, I'm sitting there banging on keys or something like that. No, it's patient in tribulations. But brothers and sisters, if we rejoice in the hope and we know where our hope lies, we know the help is always just a prayer away and always there, readily available to us. Brothers and sisters, we can be patient in our tribulations. Lord said, in this world you should have tribulations, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. That means he's already beaten it. It's not going to prevail against him. So that's where our hope is. So why should we fret about things? Now, I know, let's be honest, we're human. We're going to fret about things. We're going to worry about certain things. That's just how it is. It's our sin nature. Brothers and sisters, that's why we should strive to read God's word, seeking his wisdom each and every day, and help us be patient. Sometimes the Lord delivers us from the fire, and there's sometimes he'll deliver us through the fire. Verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Now, like I said, distributing to the necessity of saints, brothers and sisters, that's just being a helping hand. You see a need that one of our members has, we need to try to fulfill that. We need to see what we can do to help them out. We've got members in this body who are going through great trials. We have some that have lost loved ones. We need to do what we can, even if it's just a shoulder that they can lean on, or it's just somebody they can hold on to. Brothers and sisters, that is our reasonable service to do. It's distributing to the necessity of saints. So it's just, plainly put, always be of help to someone that's in need. And another thing is, if we are close, if we draw close to one another, that's how a church will grow. We draw closer to one another. We're closer to one another. We're going to be more intimate, so therefore we may see something that they may not want to see. We may see something that there's a change in their character. There's a change in their actions or whatever. And we can go to them, brother or sister, there's something I can help you with. And they may be going through such a trial, but they don't want to say anything about it. But that's one of the things about our love. We should have love one to another. We should be there for one another. Especially distributing to the necessity of saints. Given to hospitality. Like I said earlier, I love being with the Old Baptist. It's not hard at all to go to a church meeting and stay at someone's house that has that like precious faith. It's a good member of the church, good brother, good sister. And you talk about giving to hospitality. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You stay with some good old brother, good old sister's house during a good, spirit-filled church meeting. I tell you, there's just no better hospitality you're going to find. I mean, you could stay at some fancy hotel with all the amenities you want to and everything. Brothers and sisters, I'd rather sleep on the floor with a blanket in a good old Baptist home. Especially when you feel that love. When your heart is right and you're there for the right reasons. It doesn't matter where you sleep. Even if they got a nail, you can hang you on that night. Brothers and sisters, you'll be happy to be there. But it says, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. And verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Yes, I said, bless them which persecute you. Now, I know Sarah's told me I need new glasses and everything, but y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but it says right here, bless them which persecute you. Let's see. Let's turn over to Matthew 5. Real quick. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. It says, Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, if you don't want to listen to Paul here in Romans, this is what the Lord himself said. He said to love your enemies, bless them which curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Brothers and sisters, I know that's hard to do sometimes when somebody is persecuting you, somebody has used you, someone has done you wrong. It's our sin nature. We want to get back for that. But brothers and sisters, like I said, if we would have our mind right, have our mind filled with the goodness of this word, a lot of times, stuff like that, you can just let it fly off your back. Okay, I was duped, I was wronged. God will take care of that. God is our real reward. He's always got your back, if you will. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. So if someone in this life does you wrong, it's not up to us to get back for that. It is never up to us to retaliate. Now, it doesn't say, pray for your enemies that they may prevail against you. No. Pray for your enemies. Lord, change their heart. Lord, bless them to see you. Pray for your enemies. Bless them that persecute you and curse not. Verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice. Amen? We can do that. If someone's rejoicing, we can rejoice with them. We love to rejoice. And especially if we know the truth and the honest word of God, amen, we can rejoice in that. That's no problem. And weep with them that weep. Now, sometimes we're just like, oh, somebody's crying. We don't, it's my turn to go the other way or something like that. But no. Word of God, it says, always give into hospitality, always be with brotherly love. Weep with them that weep. If someone's going through a tough time, my Lord, you just help them. Be with them. Weep with them. Let them know they're not alone. We know we're never alone because of God. But the Lord has blessed us with a church, a place that we can come and people to help one another. It says earlier in Romans 12 to the ones that give to exhortation, to exhort one another, to help one another out. We are one body in Christ. And we're all different members of that same body. Just like your body has hands, arms, legs, ears, nose. If one part of your body is injured, what's the first thing you try to do? You cuddle it. You bring it close. It hurts. You want to bring it close. You want to bring it near. Well, that could be that brother or sister is going through a tough time. Bring them close. Bring them near. See what you can do to help. So rejoice with them that do rejoice. We love to hear praise reports. We love to hear good news. Amen. Rejoice with those that rejoice. But brothers and sisters, there's time that we need to be with ones who are weeping, the ones that are going through the times, struggles, loss of a loved one. Weep with them that weep. Verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now see, be of the same mind one toward another. So that means your dealings with this person should be about the same with this person. You know, it's easy to deal with someone that you like. It's easy to deal with someone that you know. But if you're dealing with someone that you don't know, don't be different. Let's not be double-minded, double-tongued. How you treat these people, you should treat these. Like I've used the example that in my job, we have repeat clients, folks that we've done a lot of work for in the past. You know, they're good folks. I enjoy working for them, and I want to do a good job for them. But there are times when we have somebody that is not so good, not so nice. You know, just kind of want to stick their nose in everything, questioning every single thing you do. You know, they're just always on your back, always doing this. Brother, sister, it is a commandment of God that we should treat them the same way. Be of the same mind one toward another. Now it says, mind not high things, condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now, one of the things of the conceit is, you know, it's like it's vanity. You know, you can have that narcissism mind or whatever. Be not wise in your own mind. If we've done something good and we had a good deal go down or something like that, we had something good happen to us, it is of the Lord. Everything good is from the Lord. Now let us not be too high-minded of ourselves. Let's not think too highly of ourselves and not be wise in our own mind. We should seek for wisdom of God. That's where our help lies. That's where our wisdom should be, is seeking the wisdom of God. Oh, I skipped one. 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Well, that's like going to say, bless them that persecute you, the ones that have done you wrong or something. It says, recompense to no man evil for evil. We should never try to get back at someone, never try to sling that evil back to them. And it says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Well, that goes hand in hand with be of the same mind one toward another. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. It doesn't matter who you're dealing with, even if they're the scum of the earth, in your opinion, it is our obligation to be honest with them. always be honest. If we consider ourselves a Christian, Christian is supposed to be Christ-like. That is the great example that we have, is Christ, the great example. He was always honest, no matter who he was talking to. Now that is our example. That's who we strive to be. Always provide things honest in the sight of all men. And I'll have to wrap this up. So in verse 18, finally, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now I tell you, the Lord blessed the Apostle Paul to pen this down. And reading the Apostle Paul's ministry, everything that that brother had to endure, there was times he was thrown out of the city, you know, beaten, scourged, thrown into prison for no wrongdoing at all. There was one time he was stoned and left for dead. Now it says, if it be possible. Now there's sometimes it's not going to be possible. That's why we have wars. Evil is abounding in this world. But brothers and sisters, if we follow the Word of God, if we seek His face each and every day, read His Word, we will be a better, our heart will be in a better mind, our mind will be in better suited for dealing with a lot of these problems that come arise. So brothers and sisters, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. But as I said earlier, we need to put more effort in our service to God. He is worth it. Is He not? Amen. He is worth it. So therefore, we should be putting more of an effort into His service. And we have a duty and a privilege to come together and praise His great and holy name. And I thank God that we have the opportunity, we have the privilege to come together. Brothers and sisters, I thank you so much for your kind attention. I know you've been praying for me. I felt it. And I hope and pray that you might glean something from this. And hopefully it's not just me rambling on. But I thank you so much for your prayers.